So therefore, when Radhakund was constructed, it was impossible. There's no possible way that Shamakund could come out straight. Because the kund is all about Krishna. And everything connected with a crooked person takes on the qualities of the person. If you associate with a crooked person, you'll become crooked. The Shamakund, it had no choice. It had to take the shape of Krishna, who is crooked. After the rasa dance in Vamshivat, in Vrindavan, the Sharad rasa dance, which was in Sharad Purnima, which is around middle of August, end of August, Krishna could understand that Radharani was not so satisfied or so pleased with that rasa dance, because there were many varieties of gopis there, coming from different categories, coming from different places. So Krishna thought that he would organize a very special and confidential rasa dance that would favor only Radharani and her party. So he chose as the venue this area of Govardhan. It's very, very quiet and secluded area. So they made the arrangement that they would all meet here at night, and that was during the Kartik time, during the on Baholastami, what we call now Baholastami, on the Astami evening. There was a private party. Invitations were sent out only to Radharani and her sakis, not to Chandravali or not to Padma or Shaibya or any other newcomer sakis or Dandakaranya sages or rishis, the Shuticharis. No one was there except Radharani's Antaranga Bhaktas. Very confidential rasa dance was proposed by Krishna to be held here in this area of Govardhan. You can see in the BBT Bhagavatam, which of course is not translated yet into Russian, but in part 2, the description of the Aristasura. Aristasura was one demon friend of Kamsa who came here, according to the purport of BBT, quoting Vishnu Puran, he came here in Arda Pradosh. Arda Pradosh means in the nighttime. Pradosh is the time of evening, from 8:36 in the evening until 10:48. So halfway through that time, at about 9:30, 9:45 in the evening, this huge bull came over here to stop Krishna's rasa dance. Well, not to stop his rasa dance, but to kill Krishna. So then Krishna, there's a long description, of course, in the Krishna book. He killed that demon, and then he wanted to have the rasa dance. And then the gopi said, "Oh, you did gohatya. You kill a cow or a bull or a calf. This is gohatya. It's a grave, serious sin. You have to do some atonement for that." So Krishna said, "What type of atonement should I do?" And then Radharani said, or not Radharani, Lalita said, "You should go, you should travel to all the holy places around the world, and bathe in all the sacred rivers and lakes." And Krishna said, "Oh, that will take a long time. How will I get back in time for the rasa dance? That will take some time. Instead of me going everywhere, why don't I call everyone here and bring every place here to this place?" And then the gopi said, "You can do that." He said, "Yeah, I can do anything." So then Krishna took where he had killed this demon, there was one impression, footprint in the ground, very large, deep hole in the ground from this heavy footprint of this heavyweight demon, Arista, where Krishna had killed him. So Krishna took his own foot and put it there and pressed it down and made some impression. Then he called all the sacred rivers and holy places to come here. So all the sacred rivers, they filled that, they appeared there and they filled the kund. They first appeared in personified form and touched Krishna's feet and circumambulated him. And then they became water and they filled this area and made Shamakund. Krishna bathed here, and then he told the gopis, he said, "All right, now I am cleansed of my sinful reaction, this gohatya. I have atoned for that. Now, what about you? Because you took the side of a demon. You were supporting this Aristasura, and you took his side. So by associating with this demon, you've taken on the reaction, the sinful reaction. You've shared some of this sinful reaction of this demon. So you also have to become purified. So why don't you take a bath in my kund, in Shamakund, to become purified?" And then the gopi said, "No, your kund. Your kund is all stinking, you know, it's contaminated. You bathe there, all your sins are there. We will make our own kund. So then Radharani and Lalita Vishaka Chandra, Tungavidya and Induleka and Rangadevi and Sudevi and Champak and Chitra, they all took their bangles. They took some of their golden bangles, and they used, it's called Kankan, and they started using their bangles as shovels to dig the ground. They were digging the ground and this way making a nice hole. There was thousands and thousands of gopis working together. Then Krishna inquired from them, how will you get water to fill your kund? You can take water from my kund and fill your kund. And the gopis said, no. That dirty, that stinky water. We don't want that water. We will go to Manasi Ganga and bring pure water here. Something pure, not this dirty stuff from your bath. Your dirty bath water. We'll go to the Ganga, and we'll go to Manasi Ganga. And we're so expert at this, we can carry 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pots on our head. So Krishna was thinking, oh, that will take so much time to carry your water pots, and a whole night will pass by, and we won't get to, where will our rasa dance be? We'll be busy carrying water all over the place. So listen, why don't you, listen, I'll tell you. So then Krishna, by his mind, he called all the holy places, or the representative for all the holy places and holy rivers and sacred tirthas, they came. He said, Krishna, how can I serve you? And he said, please, you speak to Radharani. So the personification of all the tirthas, he appealed to Radharani. Oh, please, Srimati Radharani, please give us a chance. Please give us a chance to render some service to your sweet lotus feet. There was many discussions back and forth between gopis and Krishna, and the holy places were begging, and they did puja to Radharani, and they were begging, please, please. And finally, Radharani's heart softened, because she's Karunamayi, she's made of compassion and sweet love, and she's very soft-hearted, not like Krishna. And then the time went by, it was 10 o'clock, then 10:30, then exactly at about 12 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night on Bahulashtami evening in Kartik month, then Radharani, after hearing so much petitions and so much begging from Krishna and the personified holy places, finally with a slight glance of the corner of her eye and a movement of her eyebrow, she conveyed to the Krishna, I said, all right, I'll take water. We'll fill my kund with water from your kund. And then they broke the wall of Radhakund and at the Sangam, and then all the water from Shyamakund flowed into Radhakund, and they became equal. And to show Krishna that Radharani didn't have any bad feelings towards his kund, then Radharani, she came, and she, instead of bathing in Radhakund, as per the suggestion of Krishna to bathe, to become purified, she went into to Shyamakund. She came here to the area where Manasapavan Ghat is, which is right below where we're sitting. And she bathed there, and then she declared, she said, anyone in the future who bathes here at Manasapavan Ghat, well, it wasn't known as that then, but anyone who bathes here in Shyamakund, as I'm doing, they will become very, very dear to me, Radharani. And then Krishna, he took bath in Radhakund, and he made two statements. He said, now I'm bathing in your kund, in Radhakund, and I declare from this day forward, if anybody bathes in Radhakund, they will become very dear to me, to Krishna. And furthermore, from this day forward, your kund, Radharani, your Radhakund will be much more famous than mine. And that's why even to this day, 5,000 years later, everyone, this village is called Radhakund. And it's written on the map Radhakund. And the post office is Radhakund. And everyone says, I'm going to Radhakund. No one ever, when they're coming from Delhi or Vrindavan or anywhere, they don't say, I'm going to Shyamakund. Shyamakund, Shyam Sundar, we don't have so much regard. But Radharani and Radhakund, she is primary. So even Krishna declared, and because of Krishna's words, even today, Radhakund is more prominent and more famous than Shyamakund. Shyamakund ki, Radhakund ki. We say Jaya Shyamakund. We always say Radhakund last. Right? We say Jai Shama Kunda, Jai Radha Kunda. Because in Chicago, Prabhupada named the deities Kishore Kishori. Kishore Kishori is the name of the temple. So one devotee, he asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, everywhere we see that first comes the name Radha. Radha Madhav, Radha Shyam Sundar, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, or then Sita Ram or Lakshmi Narayan. But here, you're calling the deities Kishore Kishori. First comes Kishore, first comes Krishna's name, and then later at the end comes Radharani's name. Why? This seems to be something different. Why is it like this? And then Prabhupada said, actually, Kishore Kishori, Kishori means Radharani, so we put her at the end, or we save her for last, because we save the best for last. Radharani ki jai. So there are many other stories about, you can see inside Raghunath Das Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, or at least the memorial of his Bhajan Kutir. There's a painting inside, and that painting depicts two different pastimes that happened to Raghunath Das Goswami. And one of them is that he was drinking water, he was sitting here chanting on the banks of Shamakund in this place. This is his Bhajan Kutir. And two tigers came, because all this area is so much jungle. Two tigers walked by him on both sides, and they went down to Shamakund to drink some water. Certainly they're very intelligent tigers. So then Raghunath Das Goswami, he was absorbed in his bhajan, meditating, doing what Lord Chaitanya asked him to do, to chant the holy name and meditate on Leela Ratri Dine, day and night, to meditate on the Astakali Leela of Radha and Krishna. That was his order. He was doing that here. But Krishna was worried that tigers, they eat people. So Krishna, when he saw that these two tigers are there in close proximity of his pure devotee, Krishna immediately came there. And he stood just behind Raghunath Das to protect him. And he manifested his protective form, his protection form, which is Narayan. So he's standing there with chakra in his hand, ever watchful, keeping his eye on those tigers, one eye on the tigers, both eyes on the tigers, to see if they have decided to have any lunch after having a little water. I don't think they drink water, then you have lunch. So he didn't want them to have any pakoras after drinking. So then he was protecting Raghunath Das Goswami. And you can see in the painting, there's everything in one painting inside there. There's Das Goswami sitting there. Then on the opposite bank, which is right opposite here, is now the temple of Madan Mohan, Sanatan Goswami's deities. And there's also the Bhajan Kutir of Bhajan place, sitting place of Sanatan Goswami. So the painting is showing that Sanatan Goswami came over there to that bank, to his own Bhajan Kutir, and he looked across at his neighbor. Looked to see what his neighbor was doing, to see what Das Goswami was doing. Then he saw Krishna standing there with chakra in his hand and two tigers. And he said, oh, this is very bad. Then Das Goswami has taken service from Krishna. He's called him all the way down here from the spiritual world to protect him. So then, because at that time, actually, I didn't introduce it properly, but at that time, although the painting's inside the Bhajan Kutir, at that time, Raghunath Das, he didn't have any Bhajan Kutir. He was just sitting out in the open under some bushes or trees here at Shamakund. There was no formal structure. So then Sanatan Goswami, seeing that, he came over here. He said, listen, this is what happened. You can't just sit here in the open, you're threatening your life. You should make some type of kutir. At another time, because even after hearing that admonition from Sanatan Goswami, Das Goswami didn't immediately build a bhajan kutir. He wasn't very eager to have anything. Again, he was sitting meditating. This time was the summertime in Jaisht, May and June. Very, very hot day. Very, very hot. But he was chanting here on the banks of Shamakund, oblivious to all the discomfort of the scorching summer sun over his head. He was perspiring profusely. And then Radharani, she said, oh, my dear devotee, my dear Das Goswami, he's suffering so much and doing bhajan. simply cry, writing so many wonderful poems, stavavali, in glorification of me and Krishna. And now he's undergoing so much suffering and he's not even caring for himself. Then I personally must look after him, since he's so negligent or unconcerned. So Radharani came and she stood behind Raghunath Das and she held her orana, this veil that the gopis wear. She held it over the head like an umbrella over Raghunath Das Goswami. You can see that also, and that's Leela is also depicted in one painting, same inside. And then Raghunath Das didn't know, but now all the heat of the sun was coming on Radharani, and she was perspiring. All her sari became wet, and everything was totally full of perspiration. And then again, Sanatana Goswami came to the other bank to do his bhajan, and he wanted to see what his neighbor was doing. What is Das Goswami doing? He's looking. He's, huh? Now he's taken service from Srimati Radharani? She's personally acting like an umbrella to shield him from the hot blazing sun? Oh, this is really too much. He's gone too far. So then Sanatana Goswami came and met Raghunath Das again and said, listen, we have to make some arrangement to make a formal structure so that we don't call Radha and Krishna down here on a regular basis to act as your umbrella holder and a chakra carrier, chakradhar. So then Sanatana Goswami spoke to some Brijbasis and they built some simple structure out of bricks and whatever was available in those days. And so he started doing his bhajan there. So this is the eternal bhajan stali of Raghunath Das Goswami, this first door here. And next to him is the bhajan stali or bhajan place of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And behind us here, right here, this building right here, this is the bhajan kutir of Krishnadas Kaviraj. And there's some debate about it, but some people say that, especially they inside there, but they say that he wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita there. But it is a known point that as Das Goswami was doing bhajan here, the Vaishnavas, especially Krishnadas Kaviraj, they collected over here every afternoon. And they met and they asked Das Goswami, please, will you enlighten us about the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because you stayed for 16 years in Jagannath Puri, living directly with Lord Chaitanya and Srup Damodar and Rai Ramanand and other Vaishnavas in Puri. So you had first-hand experience of the Lord. So can you please enlighten us about the leelas and teachings of Lord Chaitanya that you heard and experienced in Jagannath Puri? So in fact, he did that. Every day, Das Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, he spoke for what they say 3 hours. And right here in this place, there's all beautiful trees and very shaded area. Now it's shady, but not from the branches of trees, but the branches of steel and cement. But they all sat under here peacefully and sheltered and listened 3 hours a day. And Raghunath and Krishnadas Kaviraj would listen very attentively. And later he would go into his bhajan kutir. Then he would write down what he had heard. And that became the large basis of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, was the discussions that went on right here and the talks from Raghunath Das Goswami. So there are many other pastimes here that are written about and discussed. The time doesn't permit us to narrate all those. Maybe this evening, when we discuss after prasadam in the evening katha, we may reiterate some of those. But we'll end on some short description about bathing in Radhakund, and then explain some of the details how to bathe without properly. So one thing that it's interesting when you, because all the scriptures are telling us, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Rupa Goswami and others, there's no difference between Radharani and Krishna and Radhakund and Shyamakund. Krishna himself even states, and Lord Chaitanya also prayed when he came here, that there's absolutely no difference between Radhakund. And Krishna's telling, I see no difference between Radhakund and Radharani herself. There's no difference. So although Radhakund and Shyamakund and Radha and Krishna, Bhagavan and his divine consort, they're one and the same, Radhakund is much more accessible to the conditioned souls. The waters of Radhakund and Shyamakund are accessible at all times and in all ways for our bathing, achman, and for offering prayers and puja. And Radharani is known as being very compassionate, Karunamayi. But Radhakund is actually more compassionate. Radhakund is more compassionate than Radharani herself, because if someone desires, our acharyas are telling, to be the eternal maidservant of Srimati Radharani, this means like to become Manjari, like a follower of Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, or desires that type of gopi prem in Radhadasyam, or the service of Radharani, that type of love, or that type of intimate relationship, which even Narada Muni is praying for while he was doing austerities at Narada Kund, then one who bathes in Radha Kund with great devotion, then the Kund itself, Radha Kund itself, will bestow upon everything upon them. In Nectar of Instruction, Upadeshamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Rupa Goswami is telling in 11th instruction, number 11, he's saying, Tat premadam sakridapi sara snatur avishkaroti. He's saying, snatur, which means take snan, take a bath. Anyone who bathes once in Radhakund with great devotion will get gopi prem, it's premadam. So, this is a very special commodity that can be attained by taking shelter of Radhakund. But we find that so many people, so many devotees, they take bath in Radhakund, but they're not getting gopi prem. So many devotees or people, whomever, they bathe in Radhakund. But when we bathe in Radhakund, are we really bathing with feelings of bhakti? As we were discussing the other day about the three qualifications, I think it was at Prem Sarovara, that if we have these three qualifications, then all these fantastic benedictions and boons that are offered in various shastras will, you can say, fall upon our head. And those three qualifications are explained by the acharyas to be the, if anyone was there, one was Vishwas, Icha, and Niropadi. Niropadi means that if you are free from offenses, you don't commit offenses to Nam, you're in Namabhas stage, you're not offending the holy name, you're not offending any Vaishnavas, you're not offending deities or doing Sevaparad or Jivaparad or Vaishnavaparad, that's Niropadi. So we discussed the first one, Niraparadi. Then the second one is Vishwas. Vishwas means in general, simply it means faith or firm belief. Sudrida Vishwas, as explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But this refers to faith, it's Shastriya Vishwas or Shastriya Shraddha. We really believe, the Shastra is saying this, that if I observe this Ekadasi, or if I do this Kartik Brat or Chaturmasi Brat, or if I do this Parikrama or I do this Snan, I will get this devotional benefit or that devotional benefit. So many nice devotional benefits. We don't want any karmakanda benefits, but good devotional benefits that will promote our cause of pure devotion and help us surrender and become more attached to Krishna. Well, we read that, yes, if you do this, you receive this good devotional benefit. But then we have doubt. Oh, how is it possible? One bath in Radhakund and you can get gopi prem or manjari prem. How is it possible? So that doubting, that means we don't have faith in the Shastra. No Vishwas. So now the third, now he Paratattva Prabhu is saying, Paratattva Prabhu is saying that what if you're not like that, or you don't have, you're an aparadi and you're a doubting Thomas, you don't have faith, and we'll deal with that. But let's assume that we have faith. Let's assume we believe in the Shastra, and we're not making aparads. It's not that every devotee is some associate of Kamsa. Devotees usually are too hard on themselves. They're too hard on themselves. Actually, many devotees are actually not aparadis. Of course, Krishna is telling in Bhagavatam, if you're not crying when you're chanting Hare Krishna, then you're making Nama Parad. So by that standard, then maybe we're aparadis. But if you look at the 10 aparads, then you may consider, oh, now I'm making these aparads, or at least just as much as you're conscious. But we always feel, oh, I'm so bad, I'm so fallen, I'm such a Durjana, Vishaya Durjana. That's the mood, the bhav. So now the third thing, this is actually, even if we're covered with the first ones, we're not aparadis, we have vishvas, the third one is icha. Icha means desire. These are three qualifications to receive the fall or the fruits or benefits of these wonderful acharya, great mahajans and acharyas like Narada Muni and Lord Shiva and Krishna and Radharani, the Bhagavan themselves, and the various shastras are giving boons and benedictions themselves, personally Krishna or his devotees. And to receive them, then these three qualifications are required. And the third one is icha. And icha means desire. This shastra is saying that if you bathe here in Radhakund, you can get gopi prema, or this mood of becoming Radharani's Manjari maidservant, or this type of premadam sakrit of snata or viskaroti in Upadashamrita. But then we have to ask ourselves, what is my icha? What is my desire? Do I desire this? And we might say, yes, that's not a bad idea. But I have a few other desires too. I want this, I want that, and this and that. And then there's a long list of desires. So what they're saying is, the acharyas are saying, when our icha becomes ek icha, and when we want this, what is being offered here, when we want this particular blessing or boon of pure devotion or the eternal service of Radharani or whatever, when we want that particular blessing or benediction or boon or fruit, and we don't want anything else, then one bath in Radhakund, you come up, oh, Naradi Gopi or Krishna Dasi, or you went in as Krishna Das and you came out as Krishna Dasi. But it's not as hopeless as it may sound. It's actually, there's great hope, because any type of contact or any type of performance of the various devotional activities which are offering these blessings will produce result, which is, we're getting to the answer to your question, Paratattva Prabhu's question. So therefore, bathing in Radhakund is always good, if of course you have the blessings of your guardians. Blessings of your guardians are on your head, then any devotional activity will bear fruit. The question is, what do you mean by guardians over your head? The guardian angel. No, the guardians over your head should be Shiksha Guru and Diksha Guru. Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Guru. So here it is. Here's the answer. If we bathe with great humility and faith, those devotees whose hearts are impure will become a little pure. Those devotees whose hearts are already a little pure will become a little more pure. And those devotees whose hearts are completely pure will attain the direct service of Radha and Krishna in Gopi Bhav. If anyone who bathes in Radhakund, their heart will become purified, and an attraction for the service of Radharani will arise within us. And if somehow, someday, in some future life, we can cry and beg with feelings like Raghunath Das Goswami, which he reveals his feelings in his writings, Stavavali and Vilap Kusumanjali especially, and some other writings, and Manashiksha also, he's revealing. If we can cry and beg with feelings like Raghunath Das Goswami, then certainly we'll attain Radharani's direct mercy by bathing in Radhakund.